What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news. And by the way, this is hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. So we're talking about the economic news, and we're talking about how all these countries are just getting away from the U.S. dollar. And part of it, of course, is the growing global awareness that the U.S. government is using the U.S. dollar as a bludgeon to get other countries to do what the U.S. government wants. Do what we want, or we'll tariff you, we'll sanction you, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll punish you. The other reason, though, of course, is that the dollar itself is not seen as a reliable currency any longer. And Vladimir Putin, when he was speaking at the Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok, said the U.S. dollar has become a risky asset, and the reason for that is America's out-of-control debt. And he's absolutely right about that. At some point, we're going to start seeing that hyperinflation as they try and inflate the debt away. And we're going to see the value of the dollar start to fall. Okay, we're going to take a phone call from Keith in Montana. Aloha, Keith. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, I was going to comment on your thesis there on Iraq. You remember Hillary Clinton in her email, well, in her video, she said that she gets an email from the CFR that basically tells her what and what not to do. And it was written, I believe in October 2016 that Trump had met with the CFR. And then if you were following on, like, on Twitter, Donald Trump's tweets there, you can see how his demeanor had changed from the anti-Syria, you know, stay out of Syria, get it, you know, we're not benefiting anything. But there's an article in the New York Post that kind of highlights this. But before I get into that one, remember Donald Trump came out and says that the oil in Iraq should be used for the wounded warriors. And I thought that was kind of a doublespeak term, because here the U.S. had illegally invaded Iraq, destroyed it, and then now they want to take Iraq's oil, which would be used as a benefit to rebuild Iraq's not only country but their economy, and that the United States wanted to take the oil. And then I went to pay for that Wounded Warriors program. And I thought that was so hypocritical, it was pathetic there. But then that article in New York Post there came out that where Donald Trump says, we may get another chance to take Iraq's oil.
I saw that.
So, you know, so when people say, you know, it's not about the oil and all this stuff, it is about the oil. It's a transfer of that commonwealth of petrodollars to keep this currency going. And you know, as an American, I look at the fact that, you know, they could turn those entire countries to glass, but they could still mine the oil from underneath it. That's all they care about. And A friend of mine on Twitter here just posted here something. It was in relative of 9/11. And I put, you know, in translation, I always do that to kind of wake people up, but in translation, what Mr. Bell here was saying was that on 9/11, not only was the U.S. government willing to kill thousands of Americans and also millions of others, whether they be Arab or anything like that, but this is to push their political agenda. And you have to look at it that way. When you see the FBI behind all domestic terrorism, every single thing that you mentioned earlier, there's a tie between the FBI and these terrorist activities, whether they're 9/11, or these shootings over in Dakota, or all this stuff. You know, we have a cabal that's running this entire country here, and Americans still blind, faithfully, with this blind patriotic thing, think that they're going to change anything by going down and voting like that. The country has been taken over.
Yes.
And like that John Brennan article on Zero Hedge, which talks about John Brennan's links to communism and all that, I mean, if people can't see anything clearly, they may need to go see an optometrist, because we've lost the country. And the only way to do that is is to peacefully get out there and either get on the streets or just boycott these big corporations, because that's the only way to shut it down is to boycott these big corporations, because they're the ones that are succeeding. And if you don't believe that, just look at the stats of the numbers of the Americans that are homeless, starving, the veterans that are dying. And that brings up the other issue. If the IG report said 307,000 veterans had died, well, then Bill O'Reilly's support our troops or shut up didn't mean anything. All it meant was support our policy. The veterans who were lied to in all these countless wars have died not at the hands of an enemy, but of their own government.
Yes.
So
they
so
really have. And I remember back during the second Iraq war, where Donald Rumsfeld literally came on out and said that the wounded in Iraq were costing too much, because when they had forecast the Iraq war, they figured more of them were just going to die outright. There would be fewer survivors, and they'd sort of calculated the cost of medical treatment based on that. And instead, because of advances, I guess, in the medics' technology there in the field, more of the soldiers were surviving. They had to be evacuated, taken up to Ramstein. And I remember Rumsfeld just bemoaning the fact that too many of those veterans were surviving their combat injuries because it was costing too much. And I remember just thinking, what an absolutely cold, callous thing to say.
Well, it's like when they listed the so-called KIA, killed in action in Iraq, that only counted for those who were actually killed in Iraq. It didn't count for those that died in transport or in Germany in the hospitals. And then we find out, like over in Ukraine right now, the German people are paying for the health care of the neo-Nazis wounded over there in the Donbass, in the Kiev area. And this is just so hypocritical, just like when you see on Israeli news that the Israelis are arming the neo-Nazis in the Ukraine to cause anti-Semitism to get the Russian Jews to move to Israel.
Yes.
Or
I mean, Israel has done that before. Israel has gone into countries and deliberately fanned up anti-Semitism to try and get the Jews living in that country to move to Israel. They went to Iran some years ago trying to get the Iranian Jews to move to Israel, and they even offered them a substantial amount of money. And the Iranian Jews said, absolutely not. We've got good lives here. We've got friends here. We've got businesses here. One of the world's oldest continuously operating synagogues is in Iran. They're not being harassed. They've got voices in the government. They're not discriminated against, and they're very comfortable where they are. And they didn't want to give that up. And it was a huge political embarrassment to the government of Israel.
Yeah. And another thing gets me, though, is, you know, if Americans would quit reading American news and just read the Israeli papers there, because they boast about the arming of the Myanmar junta over there. They boast about how they sold the arms during the Rwanda genocide, the Guatemalan genocide. This is all in their papers. They boast about it, you know. And then they're reselling the Iron Dome system that has cost hundreds of millions of dollars, which has been taken out of the mouths of Americans, to resell that Iron Dome system. You know, and then, of course, Israel tests their dirty bomb. Could you imagine if Iran would have come out and says, Iran tests a dirty bomb, you know? So,
yeah,
anyway,
it's a double standard. You're right, and it's not just Iron Dome. There's been a long history of the United States developing weapons, and the American taxpayer picks up the cost of that R&D, which can be huge, as we've seen with the F-35. Then they sell or give some of these weapons to Israel. Israel reverse engineers them and starts selling the technology to other countries, including countries that don't like the United States. And they're making a huge profit off of all of that.
One of the
ways that the U.S. government transfers weapons to Israel is they'll order more than the Pentagon needs of a particular weapons platform. And then they'll ship off what the Pentagon wanted. The rest will be declared surplus and sold to Israel for pennies on the dollar, even though it's brand new, just out of the factory hardware.
Right. And there's another article there on Military Times. You know, Trump, with his troop surge back into Afghanistan there with 10,000 more troops, and he's calling for NATO members to increase theirs too. Then you have the article from Military Times. It says $700 million worth of U.S. ammo went missing. So that means that U.S. troops thrown into Afghanistan are going to be killed by their own weapons or ammunition from their own government.
Probably.
So, anyway. All right, thanks, Mike. You have a good day. Best of Claire, okay?
All right, thanks an awful lot, Keith. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are now open. We're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Getting on back to economic news, over in Turkey, President Erdogan has appointed himself the head of Turkey's sovereign wealth fund. And apparently he's also completely changed the fund's board, naming Finance Minister Berat Albayrak as his deputy. And the revamp is the latest in a series of steps Erdogan has taken to assume new powers since he won a presidential election last June, heralding the move to an executive presidency. It's consolidating power here. Here in the United States of America, and I know there's a lot of cryptocurrency fans out there who don't want to hear it, headline from 12160.info, Bitcoin hits rock bottom. And it's not just Bitcoin. All the cryptocurrencies are in trouble. In early January of this year, there were 42 different cryptocurrencies valued at greater than $1 billion. Today, there are just 15. And they're worth considerably less. Article coming out of IntelliHub, the cryptocurrency crash is now worse than the dot-com crash. And we've been seeing the cryptocurrency spiraling downward in recent months. And it looks, it's plummeting worse than the dot-com bubble did in the year 2000. Now, I like the idea of a currency that is not issued by a private central bank at interest. But once you had a currency that was completely virtual and lived in computers, you knew there was going to be manipulation, there was going to be hacking. People were writing malware to mine Bitcoin on other people's computers, and it turned into a vast criminal enterprise that discredited the idea behind it. But I still think a decentralized currency is a good idea if you can make it work. And probably longtime listeners and readers will remember, I wrote an article a while back about an idea called the Lectro. And the idea was that we needed to go back to a commodity-based monetary system, but I didn't want to use silver or gold because they were in limited supply. And when you have a commodity base of limited supply, it's open to hoarding and manipulation. If you remember the Hunt brothers back in, I think it was 1990s, tried to corner the silver market and drive the prices up. So I postulated the idea of having a monetary unit based on a unit of electricity, because electricity is a universally recognized commodity. Everybody needs it. And I wanted to base the Electro on a kilowatt hour of electricity. And the idea was that anybody could put solar panels on their roofs or windmills in their yards, and any electricity they weren't using for their own home could be converted into electros in the bank. And it would have to be tokenized so that you would have a claim check, if you will, like the original monetary system of the United States. There'd be paper notes and coins, but they wouldn't be the money. They'd be a claim check. And much to my surprise, there's a group that's actually started to try and work out the idea, and they actually made a Electro coin, which I'm a little pleased with. Let's see if that's focusing for the people at YouTube. Yeah, there it is. So there could be other ways of doing this as well, but we've got to get away from this idea that we should all remain permanent debt slaves to a privately owned bank that just creates money out of thin air and loans it into circulation at interest, because that is the reason all of these countries around the world are in serious debt trouble, because private central banks are designed to produce more debt than money with which to pay the debt. It doesn't matter how hard you work, doesn't matter how much you sacrifice, you can never acquire enough money to get out of that debt. It is a trap. It is designed to be a trap. It is not about economics. It is a system of enslavement. and I don't want to be a slave to bankers anymore, especially because they're such disreputable people. Okay, Iran is now investing abroad in other countries to get medicines and tech in order to get around the U.S. sanctions. They're basically setting up this foreign investment fund that will give it access to technology that is otherwise hard to come by. Now, the U.S., as you remember, it claimed Iran had violated the nuclear agreement and it unilaterally withdrew in May of this year. Meanwhile, the IAEA is insisting Iran has and is fully in compliance with the agreement. Actually, I remember back when this was all coming down, when Trump was saying Iran has violated the agreement, and the IAEA came on out and said, no, Iran is in compliance. And Trump came back and said, well, Iran has violated the spirit of the agreement, which is kind of a real fuzzy thing. How do you prove that one way or the other? But for Trump, it was enough to pull out of the deal and start slapping sanctions on Iran, trying to cripple them, leading to an eventual war. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I hope we don't have a war with Iran, but we'll see. But I wanted to talk to you about your idea about a monetary unit, and I wanted to let you know that I was over in Africa a couple of years ago, and they really, like, that was in Mauritania and Senegal, and they have, like, really flimsy currency there. But the people, what they trade is phone credits and phone cards. So
yep.
That's becoming a monetary a form of money there, and it really kind of works good. And every because you need to be able to use your phone, and they use it for internet also. So I think your idea is a good idea because it's something you use. It's a practical use idea, and I think you can combine like your electro with the phono or the info, the internet-o or something.
Money is whatever two parties agree to use as a medium of exchange. And throughout history, there have been all kinds of commodity bases, special certain select shells in the Pacific Islands. There are places where a gallon of gasoline is considered a unit of monetary value. All a commodity has to be is something that everybody recognizes as a thing of value, and you can base a monetary system on it. So I picked the electro because, again, as the population grows, the available electric supply will grow with it, and that forestalls the possibility of hoarding and manipulation by the money junkies.
Right, and I agree, and I think using the phone credits and internet credits is also a good idea, and it's actually in operation in areas of Africa, and it's actually working. I do find that it's interesting how, like, alcohol and tobacco, and if you look through our history, how many commodities at one time or another were a form of money and barter, and how that was kind of taxed by the government, and kind of anything that's like that is usually gotten a hold of somehow through regulatory means by the government so that they can keep it from becoming a currency, because they don't want to give up their power, the monetary people.
Quick little story here, because we're almost out of time. Do you know those little tiny glasses they have in bars with just an ounce of alcohol in them? They're called a shot. Do you know where that originated?
Yep.
During the gold rush. Because bullets were used as a unit of currency. And so somebody would go into the bar and say, give me a shot of whiskey. That's the origin of that term, because they would pay for that shot of whiskey with a bullet. Joe, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Thank you. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting and a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're still talking about the economic news. Now, the Royal Bank of Scotland's chairman has admitted that it is unlikely the government will get back all of the £45 billion pumped into the bank as a bailout. And Sir Howard Davies said restructuring costs, losses on loans, and selling businesses meant RBS was valued at less than the taxpayers paid for their stake. So once again, we see it all over the world. Banks will get into trouble, and ordinary people are expected to cough up the money to get them restarted again. We saw it here in the United States back in 2008 with TARP and all these other things. Every time the banks get into trouble, oh, bailout, we got to have a bailout, got to have a taxpayer-funded bailout. You know how important banks are to the scheme of things. We've got to have another taxpayer-funded bailout. And it goes over and over and over again. Remember the SNL crisis back in the 80s? Same thing. The Resolution Trust Corporation that was putting all these SNL accounts back together was funded from tax dollars. Ultimately, the poor are made to pay for all, to paraphrase Umberto Eco. over at JP Morgan, apparently a bunch of their junior bankers have been fired for cheating on an accounting test. And what's really amazing is supposedly this accounting test is viewed as relatively easy. But apparently these bankers were found with crib notes, or they were caught copying fellow bankers' answers. And according to the Daily Telegraph, these JP Morgan bankers, several of whom are from overseas, were told to pay for their own flights home. Well, that's good. They definitely deserve that. But, you know, banking is not a science. Banking is actually operating as a religion. It's a set of arbitrary rules written by the priests that you are taught to believe represents something real. And those rules are designed to take wealth out of the pockets of the people and move it to the bankers bit by bit, day by day. That's really what's going on here. There's nothing real about banking. It's an illusion that you are taught to believe represents something real. I remember when I was in grade school getting the little film strip, you know, about how the Federal Reserve, this is how it operates. This is the only way we can have the economy of the United States. They were drumming it into our little heads. You know, this is how it is. Don't even think there might be a different way to run the national economy. Don't dare remember that this country was started without a private central bank. And it did quite well without a private central bank. Down in South Africa, things are not going well. It's being described as close to a war zone. They're averaging 57 murders a day. This is coming from the police minister. And some 20,000 people have been killed across the country in the last year. Some of it is linked to gang violence in Western Cape Province, Cape Town. The rest of it is linked to this series of attacks on white farmers. Now, Italian officials are basically pushing back against the United Nations. The UN is trying to come on down and insist that Italy go along with the open borders and the migrant agenda, and the Italian minister, Matteo Salvini, is saying, we don't need lessons on immigrants from the United Nations. We can look with our own eyes and see what's going on in our country from having too many immigrants, from having unchecked immigration. And we're starting to see that pretty much all across the EU. This open borders policy in Europe and here in the United States has proved to be a disaster. I mean, here in the United States, the illegal immigration has become a threat to our political system because of the Democrats' desire to have illegal immigrants vote in our elections, even though they're not supposed to. Voting is a right of citizens. You can't just walk into another country and vote yourself free stuff. And if you look at the downfall of ancient Rome, allowing people to vote themselves free stuff is a dead-end street. And we're already getting into that bread and circuses phase. The refugees and the illegal immigrants are getting all kinds of free stuff. They're being treated by the U.S. government better than the American citizens are. And you have lots of circuses, like this whole thing about Kaepernick, there on TV, all distractions. It's not going to work out in the long run. Anyway, we got to take yet another break for commercials. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about immigration and open borders. Apparently, the number of Germans killed by foreigners is the highest it has been in years, and it is on the rise. And there was a total of 731 homicides recorded in Germany last year. In at least 83 of the cases where the victim was German, law enforcement identified at least one non-German suspect. And the numbers, the BKA, the Federal Criminal Police Office, refused to specify the nationality of the suspects. But it doesn't take a Sherlock Holmes to realize that having those open borders is causing problems. And I remember this ridiculous comment was here in the United States of America, where an illegal immigrant was caught for murdering somebody in this country. And people were saying, let's close the borders until we know the people we're letting in are safe. And somebody tried to defend the open border saying, well, white people commit murder too, so that makes it all right. No, it doesn't make it all right. Doesn't matter if you're white, brown, black, green, peach, taupe, or mauve. If you commit a murder, you've done something wrong. But why have an open border and just allow anybody to come on in, knowing you're going to get people of ill will. And I really get tired of the open borders people screaming that we're all racists. No, we're not racists. Illegal is not a race. And if you really want to get them upset, you know, when they say we should have completely open borders, everybody should go wherever they want, and say, okay, why do you have locks on the doors of your home? That'll really get them angry at you. Apparently, a Syrian refugee living in Canada has been arrested for the 2017 killing of a Canadian teenager whose body was found in a secluded area of a park outside Vancouver. So there's your cultural enrichment for you. Over in Spain, around 1 million people took to the streets of Barcelona to demand Catalonia's independence from Spain and call for the release of jailed secessionists. And apparently there was literally a 3.5-mile stretch of the city completely filled with people, most of whom were dressed in the colors of the Catalan separatist flag known as the Estelada. And here is a good one. And again, part of your cultural enrichment. Apparently, monkeypox has been found in Great Britain for the very first time. And yes, it was brought in from outside the country. A Nigerian individual who flew into Great Britain a week ago has been diagnosed with the bug. This has a 10% lethality rate, meaning one out of every 10 people who gets monkeypox will die. And by the way, it scars your skin hideously. There is no vaccine. Now, like Ebola, monkeypox resides in wild animals. Well, they don't actually know that. They've never found the natural host for Ebola. But monkeypox resides in wild animals, but humans can catch it through direct contact with the animals, such as handling monkeys or eating inadequately cooked meat. Now, obviously, if you've got a human who's carrying the virus and you're in contact with them, that can be an issue. And health officials are trying to figure out where this Nigerian individual went. Who did he interact with? This could be a serious, serious problem. So there's more of your cultural enrichment at work there. Over in Boston, which is known for having some of the worst traffic in the country, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is trying to convince cities, not just Boston, but everywhere across the country, to lower speed limits from 30 miles per hour to 25 miles per hour. The program is called As Vision Zero, and they're insisting that they have statistics showing that cutting off that 5 mile an hour from the speed limit will improve traffic safety. And this has become a tremendous controversy because the National Motorists Association is accusing the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety of cherry-picking the data to convince Americans that lowering the speed limit 5 miles per hour would save lives. And it turned out that a study conducted in Boston found that the mean speed of drivers under 30 miles per hour was 24.8 miles per hour. They were already under 25. And after they installed the 25 mile per hour signs at huge cost to the taxpayers, the mean speeds remained exactly the same. So what's going on here? Well, because lowering the speed limit increased speeding ticket revenue by 47%. It's not about traffic safety. It's about finding another way to gouge ordinary Americans by a government that is just going broke. And this is not the first time that happened. If you're my age, you remember when freeways had 60 mile per hour speed limits. And then there was this big campaign to go for the double nickel, because if we lower the speed to 55, we're going to save all kinds of gas economy and there's going to be all kinds of safety, none of which happened. But speeding ticket revenues soared. Now, getting into the world of political correctness, over at John F. Kennedy High School in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, they're now forcing their English students to learn gender-bending pronouns and engage in discussions of sexuality and anti-white propaganda. Now, apparently, this teacher, Emily Thompson, handed out an assignment which a student posted to social media. And this assignment basically was supposed to detail power and privilege in America, which basically means people born in the U.S., white people, Christians, the middle owning class, heterosexuals, men, and veterans as the oppressors of everybody else in the United States. Now, supposedly, the school has a policy against discrimination based on race, creed, and sexuality. I would say this teacher's assignment is absolutely baffling. But this is what they're teaching kids in school, that ordinary Americans, you know, white, male, heterosexual, hardworking people are the enemy, that we are the oppressors of all these people who are coming over the borders. This could lead to yet another possible civil war. And how is this actually preparing these kids for any kind of a place in the nation's economy? Whatever happened, I mean, when I was in English class, it was all about being able to spell correctly, to diagram sentences, to use good grammar, and be able to write in a way that made actual sense. And, of course, there was a lot of reading of the classics, like Huckleberry Finn, which I understand is now banned in schools as being racist. Whatever happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? These kids are being brainwashed and indoctrinated. I'm glad that one student posted the assignment online, because this stuff does have to be exposed. This kind of heavy-handed indoctrination. And it gets worse. Apparently, the Trump administration, through the Education Department, is now adopting the new definition of anti-Semitism in schools. And the policy change was outlined in a letter last month by Kenneth Marcus, who leads the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights. And it's directed at schools. And they were running an investigation about discrimination against Jewish students. And so Marcus wrote that the Education Department, in its investigations into discrimination, would adopt the working definition of anti-Semitism that is being promoted by Israel. And by the way, it's also been adopted by the State Department. And they've defined anti-Semitism as demonizing or delegitimizing Israel, holding it to a double standard not expected of other democratic nations. That's all now anti-Semitic. And it's basically, the Jewish activists want this to curb dissent on campuses. They want to suppress any discussion of what's going on in Palestine. And this definition is so broad, it does rope in legitimate criticism of the actions of the government of Israel as anti-Semitism, which makes no sense at all. That's like saying that the only reason people complain about Hitler and the Nazis is they hate the German people. Down in Texas, working groups of teachers and historians and liberals are proposing the elimination of the words, quote, all the heroic defenders who gave their lives, end quote, at the Alamo from a state standard governing instruction on the Texas War of Independence from Mexico, saying that heroic is a value-charged word. Yeah. And saying the reference to all defenders is too vague and covers too many individuals. And Texas Governor Abbott described it as lunacy, saying, we need to stop this political correctness in our schools. Of course, Texas school children should be taught that Alamo defenders were heroic. Again, this is another attack on our history, on our culture, on our sense of identity. over in Georgia, there's this retired professor of mathematics, used to teach at Georgia Tech, Theodore Hill is his name, and he claims that activists successfully pressured the New York Journal of Mathematics to delete an article he had written for the academic journal because it considered a politically incorrect subject, which is the achievement gap between men and women at very high levels of human intelligence. And it was just a standard analysis where he went on basically looking, following the greater male variability hypothesis, which was first proposed by Charles Darwin. And it suggests there are more men than women at both the bottom and the very top of the distribution for intelligence scores. Nobody knows why. It's genetics. But more men than women are Nobel Prize winners and chess grand champions, and more men than women are homeless, unemployed, and in prison. Men as a group express greater variability in aptitude and ability. The difference, of course, needs not be innate. It could be from social pressures. But the social justice warriors are out there saying, oh, it's politically incorrect. We don't mention that there are differences in achievement of different people. That's politically incorrect. You're all just one shade of gray. You're all one gender. You're all equally adept. There's no difference between any of you. Over in France, students at a school were posing for the school photograph, and the image was obtained by an ad agency to promote diversity in the United States. And they promoted diversity by photoshopping the school photograph and artificially darkening the skin of students. And the students themselves saw it online, and they went public. They went viral on the internet saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. They fudged the picture to make it look like there are more dark-skinned people here. It's another lie. But of course, I worked in advertising long enough to know that that's kind of what they get paid to do in a lot of cases. Okay, I love this one. I love this one. Political correctness falls flat on its face. Earlier this year, it was announced that the Miss America pageant would eliminate the swimsuit competition. And instead, they would hold interviews, on-stage interviews with the contestants, where they would talk about President Trump, the NFL player protest, and other topics. It would be very fascinating and politically correct. The reason given for dropping the swimsuit competition is that it would make women who don't look like Miss America feel bad about themselves. And to nobody's surprise, this year's Miss America pageant crashed in the ratings. So that's a huge, huge embarrassment there. And again, getting back to that story about how the snowflakes, the social justice warriors, aren't really offended. They're looking for targets. They're looking for targets. And this is a good one. There were two high schools, Aliso Niguel High School and Santa Ana High School, played each other in football. And following the game, Santa Ana's principal, Jeff Bishop, accused the hosting team of giving his school a racist welcome, claiming in a Facebook post that he saw fans holding up, "We love white." Oh my goodness, how racist can you get? We love white. They're racist there. Well, that wasn't the whole story, because other students were also waving "We love red" and "We love blue" signs. It was an expression of patriotism. But he saw that white sign. That's it. It's racism. Forget about the red and the blue. They couldn't possibly mean anything at all. It's racist. It's out there. We've got to fight back. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now. Charlie on Long Island, and I'm probably going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. First time caller here. Thanks for having me. On my mind, I wanted to first give a shout out to the What Really Happened family. I'm probably one of your youngest callers, but I'd like to just say, you know, young people, we do care. I have a lot of friends that are not crazy Bernie Bro liberals, but besides that, I wanted to talk about John McCain.
Okay.
Do you know his brain cancer? He had last words, and I thought that was interesting, because you probably shouldn't have been able to talk. And I kind of have a feeling that was a lie, that he died on his own, you know, safely next to his family.
Okay, I'm going to have to put you on hold, Charlie. We got to take a break for commercials. Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Charlie in Long Island. We're talking about John McCain. And can you just sort of pick up from where you left off?
Sure. Well, my mom has been in ICU and intensive care, and I was asking her, what are the odds of somebody being able to speak and be coherent after such a debilitating, brain cancer? And she kind of paused and said, I don't know, that's a good question. So she came
out. Well, it's going to depend on how big the cancer is and where it's located, because, as you know, the brain is sort of has different functions in different areas. And where we saw the surgery scar on John McCain would be the prefrontal lobe, which might impact his ability to reason. But if it didn't take out a large portion of the prefrontal lobe, then, yeah, he'd still be able to think and talk. The brain is wonderfully adaptable, and it can survive insult and injury.
Okay. I didn't think about that. I kind of went the other side of the fence there. All right. I just know, we know John McCain has been pictured with ISIS leaders, and it kind of just seemed convenient, the timing. And what a funeral. I mean, for somebody that wasn't president, that seemed like very extravagant. I just realized I always skip her commercials, so it's on a podcast. Does Claire take CBD oil for her back?
Yes, she does.
Okay. What about cryotherapy? Because I do that once a week, and it really helps my back.
Well, if you mean an ice pack, yes, she uses that on a pretty much daily basis. She has a back brace. We were at the doctor's just yesterday. She is doing better. She's getting better.
Okay.
It's taking a while. She's very frustrated. We actually literally get into kind of this situation where I don't want her doing any of the housework. And so I'm doing all the housework right now. She's feeling frustrated and guilty, and I keep telling her, no, that's not appropriate. You are recovering from a serious back injury. You literally broke your back, and it's going to take a while. And she's never, it's never going to be the way it was before, but she can get back to maybe 80%. Every time I let her do any housework, she has a relapse. And, sometimes I have to Velcro her to that chair in the living room and say, just sit there and I'll do what I got to do.
Well, cryotherapy,
I got to be the only husband on planet Earth that has to beg his wife to do the housework.
I think you really are. You might be getting a peace prize for that. Cryotherapy is a really, really helpful. I have a lot of my friends who have sports injuries, and I tell them, don't take pharmaceutical drugs. They'll get you addicted. So just look into it. I'm not sure if it's out in Hawaii yet, but it is great for inflammation. That's basically what it fights, and I'm sure that's a main issue. I had another thing.
That is an issue there, and that's what she's using the ice packs for. And we've got four ice packs in the freezer just in rotation. Anyway, Charlie, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. We're coming up here on station identification, and we've got another caller waiting on the line. So... There's the music. We'll be back after these few words.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.